You're going to notice something. It's okay. It's going to make sense. How is everybody this morning? Okay, high five two people. We got to get excited. Y'all know how I roll. We got to have crowd participation in this thing. Yeah. Whoever you are online, I'm high-fiving you. I'm like double tap high-fiving. We're ready. It's good to see smiling faces today. I'm so excited. How about that worship? Wasn't that awesome? I had to step out for a second, and I still heard it. It was amazing. Thank you guys each and every week for what you do and how you set everything up for us. So today, guys, is going to be fun. At least I believe it's going to be fun. If it's not, then it's going to be all right. We're still always going to have fun here in the church. We started a series last week called Outlasters, as it showed at the beginning, right? And last week we talked about how we can live a life of readiness over happiness. Readiness over happiness. And I got to share a heart, and I got to share how in this world that's so hyper-focused on the here and now, how we can build something that lasts beyond us. Because we as Christians are called to live a life that outlasts us. We're called to live a life that outlasts us. And so today, it's going to be fun. And it's going to be great. You notice I have some accessories. It's going to pay off in a minute. So if you get a little distracted by it, don't. It's going to pay off in a minute, and it's going to make sense. But today, we say it every week, so hang in here. If it's your first time, somebody's first time hearing this, each and every week our team gets together, and we put an event on our Bible app because we don't want you shuffling through pages of Scripture trying to keep up, because we believe whether you follow Jesus for 2 weeks, 20 years, or 20 minutes, not quite sure who he is outside of a baby in a manger, we believe he's got a word for you today, and we want you to be able to hear that instead of worried about where you are in the Bible. So all that to say, I'm going to show you right now how you can get on the Bible app. It's a free app you can download from the app store of your choice, and I'm going to show you on this video how you can follow along with us. So if you click on the Bible app, once you click on that, you want to click on the More tab, those little three dots, as we all know what that is, and click on Events. Make sure your Location Services is on. And when you do that, you're going to see the Vine Sunday Worship Experience. And once you click on that, the reason that's important is it's a way that you can reach out to us, how we can connect with you, how we can pray with you, if there's any way that we can serve you. But also, it's got all the Scripture for the day, got a place where you can take your personal notes, because today is not just about today. It's a place where you can go back throughout the week and see whatever God taught you, whatever God's been speaking to you, so you can continue to carry that forward all the way through. So if you want to click that and get ready for that, if you're following with us in the house in your Bible and you would like a Bible, we have those free for the asking. Just let us know. Nudge your neighbor. If you're watching online, you can also get one free. If you will email hello@thevine.tv with your name and your mailing address, subject would be, I want a Bible. We'll be glad to send you one for free. But if you want one in the house today, if you go back to the garden, we'd love to give you one for free. Because today's going to be a good day, because we're going to be in a couple different points of Scripture as we walk through today. But obviously, as you see today, we're going to talk about how to be financially free. Financially free. How to live this life financially free. And so today, you obviously notice I have this. You heard it in the back. You probably thought I was having a cage match. That's for after church. You guys are excited. We're going to do that after church. Y'all are ready. We are in the South, so that's how it goes. But today, the reason that this matters is what I want to show you is financial freedom. So how many of us know someone who would like to save money? Wow, the whole room. Praise God. That's awesome. How many of us would like to have a debt-free Christmas? How many of us are already in debt for Christmas? Amen. I don't have kids, so I understand that. So if you have kids, a lot of times maybe you are, because I know those toys can get really, really, really expensive. But for me, what I wanted to show you is this is not a bolo. This is how I grew up learning about money. You see, I'm not here to point fingers, and I'm sure there may be some backlash, but I just want to be honest with you. What I was taught about money was this, that it weighed you down, it put you in chains, and that it was something that if you could get enough of it, you could find your way to control it. You know, I told you about my story a little bit, and maybe you don't know me, and that's awesome. I'd love to tell you my whole story. But if you don't know, I grew up in a house with a widow. My father was killed by a drunk driver when I was two. I grew up in a house with a widow, and I can tell you money was tight. But I can tell you, I didn't know what a budget was until I went to college. It was crazy. I didn't know anything about money. I can tell you houses that we got kicked out of because we were foreclosed on. I could tell you power bills that weren't paid, the times we slept by candlelight. I could tell you times that there were people that were used for money instead of being used for love. And I can tell you that my view of money was something that just weighed you down and something you had to live with. So much so that even following Jesus, I continued to think money was this. And I continued to pull the chains on me. I thought debt was something you had to have when you grew up. I thought debt was something that was important. Like, it was just a necessary evil because that's how you tried to get enough money to get by. So does anybody here feel like money is weighing you down? Can anybody say, I mean, without diving deeper into my story, there are people in this house today that are affected by my story, I can tell you, and the view of money that I grew up with. And when you feel weighed down by money, I want to tell you, you affect those you love the most and how you view money. You may not even realize it, but you do. And when they see that this is money, their perception of money is it's something that controls you instead of something that can be controlled. And so for me, financial freedom was something I never thought I could achieve. I thought it was something that would be great for my kids, thought it'd be something that'd be great for my grandkids, which I don't have yet. Don't get excited. That's why I didn't raise my hand for Christmas debt. I just saw money this way. And so today, I want to tell you, I don't want you to be in bondage to the chains of money today. Today, we're going to talk about breaking free from that. So today, maybe you got invited because somebody said, hey, today is the day that you can save money for Christmas. Come to church and sit with me. And if that's you, that's awesome. We're going to show you how to do that. We've got tools to do that. But we got to understand what it means when we treat money this way. Because I don't know about you, but the life I want to live that outlasts me isn't generations below me, weighed down by the chains of money. You know, the reason I know that I can connect with all of us is I want to give you some stats about America, and I want to tell you what's really, really crazy. Man, I didn't even go into all of my story because I don't think I could hold it together. I'm going to be honest with you when it comes to money. But I can tell you my view of money was so crazy that I just grew up not knowing that it was something Jesus used to bless you instead of something to curse you. I know America is in this right now because the stats are, these are fresh stats from 2017. So how many married couples I have in the house? Awesome. Married couples in the house. 95% of married couples regularly argue about money. Is that true? So here's the stat. So you want to compare to the average. So hang in here with me. Hang in here with me. Here's the average. Here's the average. The average United States married couple argue about money 3 times a month. All the married couples are trying to stack up. They're trying to say, when was the last one? When was the last two? Are we in that 3 times a month? It shows that when you're over 40, believe it or not, you argue 4 times a month. Once a week, you argue about money. The number one cause for divorce in America is money. We call it irreconcilable differences, but more than likely the view of money was wrong in the marriage and it caused trust issues. That led to infidelity. It led to things being hidden. It led to things in the marriage that ripped it apart. It is the number one reason for divorce and marriage. And I'm wondering if we're chained to money is why we have a problem. As a matter of fact, let me tell you some more stats about America. It's not going to be all doom and gloom. There's going to be hope. So hang in here with me, okay? It's not all doom and gloom. You know that's not how I roll. I'm usually like, you just made me high five and you're giving me all these terrible stats. I know, that's how I roll. It's going to be good. Did you know the average household debt in America, average, $59,800? All them fingers and toes, right? Going on. The average debt. Do you know the average income in America is $59,039? So the average American household, for every dollar they make before taxes, they've already spent a dollar and a penny. Now, we're a lot better than we were just 10 years ago in the crash. It was $1.36 for every dollar. So we're doing good. We're saving a quarter and a dime for where we were. But I don't know about you, but when I'm growing up and I'm looking at math, if there's a dollar and a penny going out for every dollar brought in before taxes, there's going to be some issues, right? Some things are going to weigh me down, right? That's the average household income. That's the average household debt. Let me even tell you what else is there. 50% of Americans have less than 1 month of emergency savings in the bank. Right now, the average 21-year-old owes $22,000, including student loan debt. So we think that's a necessary evil, right? That's how I learned about money. You got to have student loan debt so you can go make that paper, right? It's the most expensive receipt I've ever paid for. I'm not going to lie to you. We were taught this. But let me tell you the problem. Let me tell you the issue. For the average American, just in 2017, the average 28-year-old debt balloons to $78,000. Can you say we have a problem? That's an issue, isn't it? Now, let me tell you, how long does it take that $78,000 to be paid off? That's not something we're taught. We just get, you know, credit cards flood the campuses. People are like, finally, I got a credit card. Like, and you're ready to go. You have no clue what it means to budget. You just know, hey, swipe, swipe, swipe. It went through. Yay, excited. Now, here's the thing. Maybe some of us are in chains to debt, not because of our own doing. Maybe it was a hospital visit or a hospital bill. Right now, medical expenses are the number one thing that people have to go in debt for. Medical costs have actually risen 35% year over year. It's insane. It's insane. So right now, the thing is, if we're not financially free, I wonder what we're setting ourselves up for. And if we don't have the right view of money, then I promise you, these chains are just going to keep getting tighter and tighter and tighter. This is what I learned about money. Even following Jesus, as I was following him, I just kept trying to rip these chains off. I thought this is something that I had to have. Like, Jesus, I get it. I want to give you every area of my life, but money, you know, you'll bless my money because I'm a follower of you, right? Like, I don't have to have a plan. I don't have to obediently follow you with that. And I will tell you, the thing about my life is the reason we are where we are at the Vine Church, the reason we can celebrate how much we've been able to give, the reason we can celebrate where we are is Jesus shaped me in that time to change my view of money. And so today, I think he's going to set you free the exact same way. So that being said, today we're going to talk about how you and I both can be financially free. So you know I got to have crowd participation. We've got all the negative out of the way, so hang in here with me. Are we good? Somebody give me some nods. Fist bump your neighbor. Let them know you want to be free. Give your Mel Gibson freedom. Do your thing. Ready to go. Braveheart it. Okay, awesome. I'm hearing it. I love it. So today, as we talk about being financially free, I want to talk about two reasons why we aren't financially free, two reasons that we treat money the wrong way, and then we're going to talk about how we can have a godly perspective of money and how we can see how it can be better. Now, I want to lay the groundwork. If you know anything about me, I'm not a prosperity gospel guy. I'm not going to tell you today if you owe $100,000, you're going to walk out the door and win the lottery. That's not what I'm going to give you today. I'm going to give you something that's so much better, though. I want to talk to you about someone who's so much better, and his name is Jesus. And he's going to give you something that lottery will never be able to fulfill in your life, I promise you. And if you've got a plan, I promise you he will bless your steps. Can't promise it'll be gone tomorrow, but I promise you he'll be with you step by step. So here we go. If you're taking notes right now, if you're taking notes, and if you've got your Bible, the first thing I want to tell you, the first view that we have that is wrong with money is this. Our first perspective, we are tempted to serve money. We're tempted to serve money. You see, the reason I've got these chains on and the reason this chain is around my neck is because I was in bondage to money. I was a servant to it. I thought I had to serve money. And the more I served money, I thought I could get more of it, right? I don't know about you, but maybe that's what it is. If I serve money, if I could just get more money, if I could just do more things, if I could just figure out how to stretch that dollar more, if I could figure out how to serve it, then more of it would come. As a matter of fact, I built an altar to it and said, I'll build a career out of making more money. If I can just make more money, that's exactly what I'll be able to do. I'll no longer be in these chains. I'll find the key to get out of these chains. I'll do everything I can as long as I serve money. And I want to tell you that in the Bible, did you know that five times Jesus talked about money five times more than anything else? And I'm not standing up here, I'm not taking a big offer, and I'm not going to talk to you about a private jet I want to buy. You'll know that's not how I roll. But what I do tell you is if Jesus spent that much time talking about it, it must be something that's important in our walk, in our life with him. So when we are tempted to serve money, let's see what it says in Matthew about that. Matthew 6, verse 24 says it this way, how we're tempted to serve money. Excuse me. No one can serve two masters. We've heard this one so many times, right? Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We are tempted to serve money. So as I was growing up and I was talking about serving and I'm talking about tempted to serve money, I'm going to give you some litmus tests in your life because here's the thing that God had to teach me about money. You see, we have money as a tool in our life to bless others. It's a tool in our life to bless others. It's one of many things. One of many things God gives us to bless others. But if you want to see if you're tempted to serve money or not, let me ask you this, and you can write this down. I didn't share it with our creative team. They'll kill me, but they're great at going on the side back and forth with me as we talk about this. But I'm just going to say this a couple times, and I want you to hear me. You either serve money and use people, or you use money to serve people. Let me say that one more time. You either serve money and use people, or you use money to serve people. If you want to see if you're tempted to serve money, if you want to see if you're serving money in your life, I want to ask you, are you using it to serve people or serve yourself? Are you using it in your life to use people? Because I can tell you my story, I got to see how money was used to use people, not to serve them. I can tell you how money was served, how it was all about being money, how it was all about getting money, and it shaped me to be who I am today. I'm not here to point fingers. I'm not pointing anyone out or calling anyone out. We can do that in private and talk through that. And the folks that know, know, but I'm telling you, it's who I am today because of it. Because I had to have my eyes open to see that this money thing was just a tool that I could bless other people with. Instead, I thought if I got more of it, then I would bless people. Instead of seeing that I can't serve money, I'm just here to serve people, and God will give me the money as a tool to bless and serve them even more. But if I'm so far out about getting the money, then I'm in a rough place. So let me tell you some other reasons. Maybe that doesn't strike with you. Let me give you some other tests so you can see whether or not you were tempted to serve money. Let me ask you this. Have you bought something you didn't need recently? I'm going to get some stones thrown at me in a minute. I feel it because it's about to be Christmas season. Let me ask you this. Sometimes it's good to do things. I'm not telling you you got to be a miser and sell everything and write a check to the church today. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm asking, have you bought something you didn't need recently? Did you go back and buy another thing you didn't need recently? Did you go back and buy another thing that you didn't need recently? But your neighbor next door, you hadn't seen their lights on in the past 2 weeks. You're blind to the struggle that they're walking through. You don't know what's in their pantry. You don't know that they don't have any food in their refrigerator, but you keep going back to get the thing you don't need, the thing that you didn't ask or pray about, the thing that you didn't plan on, the thing that didn't pop up, not the medical emergency that popped up, like the thing of, that TV's on sale. I think I'll get it today. And then, oh, it's on sale again. Let me go get another one and put it in a room that I never walk in. Let me go put it in that room. Oh, dining room table. Let me go slide that in the room that we can only go in twice a year, right? Did anybody else have that room? Like, my grandma had that room in her house, you know, twice a year. That was it. Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's the only time you could walk in those rooms, right? And so I'm not here to beat you down. I'm saying this is where I learned is I would go and just buy what I wanted when I wanted to do it. I didn't plan my grocery shop visits. How many of us have ever been there? Does that work out well? You don't make a list and you walk out with like everything but what you need. He's like, I came to get milk. How did I have a $100 bill from Walmart? Oh, that fishing line. That's awesome. Like I needed that, right? No, like, I just want you to see and maybe have your perspective change to see where maybe you're serving money. And here's the thing, if you continue to serve money, it'll continue to wrap you in chains. Maybe it's not this. And this is where I served money the most. And I will tell you in my life where I got it wrong because I didn't understand. Maybe you're fighting to move up the corporate ladder so hard that you put the expense of others that you love. And you've done it. You've just like forgotten the others that you love just because you want to move up the corporate ladder, just because you want to be the top dog in the company, just because you say, I'm only going to do this for 2 or 3 years. And after these two, this is what I kept telling myself. I'm just going to be honest with you. This is what I kept telling myself. I'm only going to do this for 2 years. And after the 2 years, I get the promotion, then I'll be available more for my family. I'll be available more for those I love. I'll be available to do more. I'll be available. And what I ended up seeing is I was serving money time and time again to climb up a corporate ladder that didn't even care. I mean, let's be honest with you. In the end, you are replaceable. I am replaceable, each and every one of us. But if we go and we use people just so that we can have money served in our life, I promise you it's not fulfilling. I'm living proof it's not fulfilling. Because I can tell you, I learned so much in that time, and I got to meet some amazing people in that time. But it wasn't what God made me to be. So it never fulfilled me. And so I turned to money to try to fill. I turned to money to try to fill. I turned to the next promotion to try to fill. I turned to the next thing to try to fill. So maybe that's where you are in your life. Maybe right now you're opening up, and I want you to see maybe you're trying to serve money more than anything else. And if you do, that's okay. I've been there. I tell you, we all struggle with it. I've been there. We've all been there. So I just want you to see today, maybe your perspective of money is you're trying to serve it. The number two reason why we struggle with money and why we aren't financially free. So number one is we are tempted to serve it. Serve money. Number two, we are tempted to love money. That simple. We serve it, we are tempted to love money. 1 Timothy 6 talks about it this way, but godliness, if you got notes or you'd like to highlight in your Bible, I love this part. This is what I had to learn about following Jesus when it came to money. But godliness with contentment is great gain. If you have contentment in your life, your bank account doesn't matter. If you've got contentment, you're probably not serving money, and you're probably not putting money on a pedestal above everything else. For we brought nothing into this world. And last I checked, I looked at my baby pictures. Bless, that's all I'm saying. My big loud mouth never shut up. I cried all the time. Can you not tell? I'm still talking now. I haven't stopped. So, like, growing up, but I'm pretty sure when I looked at those pictures, I didn't bring anything out. Like, I didn't come out with, like, a couch and a TV, a Nintendo. Like, I didn't come out with those things. Like, I came in this world with nothing, and guess what? We take nothing out of this world. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want harmful desires, those who get rich fall into temptation and a trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. If you love money more than anything else, more than the people that are around you, more than what God has called you to be, you're plunging yourself into foolishness, harmful desires, ruin and destruction. And this is a story we all know, and we've all heard the pastor at the revival talk about this, so hang in here. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, not money itself. I grew up learning that money was the root of evil. The love of money has been the root of evil. Some people eager for money, this is where I was, have wandered from faith. I knew who Jesus was, but I wasn't quite sure how this money thing worked out, and they've pierced themselves with many griefs. So let me ask you this. Maybe you're trying to figure out if you have the love of money today. And so I want you to hear me here when I say I'm about to ask you a question. I'm not telling you that money's bad. If you're rich, that's awesome. God might have allowed you to be rich to be generous to others. That is a gift from God. That is something that you can do to be even more generous than ever before. But the widow's mite is just as important as somebody who tithes and gives an offering all the time. It's not the actual money itself. It's the love of it. And so today, maybe you're trying to figure out if you're fighting with the love of money. So let me give you a litmus test for where you are there. Maybe you say this all the time. If I just had more money, I'd get out of debt. Anybody say that? Anybody here say that? Awesome. The whole house, hands are wide open. I'm just kidding. It is what it is. Maybe you say this, if I just had more money, I'd help more people. If I just had more money, I'd buy a bigger house. If I just had more money, I'd buy a better car. If I just had more money. And let me ask you this. Let me tell you, married couples, you'll know this. Just like when you get married and you always say you bring out the best in me, you bring out the worst in the other person too, right? Because it's like a mirror looking at it. But God has created you to be together, to do something that you could no longer do apart from each other. So he brought you together in this marriage to go do a great work. Well, let me tell you, the more money you have, it just brings out who you are even more. So if you keep saying, I want more money, and you consume it, it's where we are in America. If I just make more money, I will get out of debt. We still spend a dollar and a penny to every dollar we bring in. We continually fall in love with money. So maybe that's where you're stuck. Or maybe today you're looking at this and you keep saying, hey, I'm tired of being strapped, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to climb up the corporate ladder. I'm going to step over that person. I'm going to sell them out, get them out of that position so that I can have it to make more money. And here's where I'm concerned with where we are in America, because I just want to, before we talk about the hope, this ain't all doom and gloom, so hang in here with me. Before we talk about hope and where we are, I wonder if we don't realize the power of money that we're under. And we think that we continually want more. Because statistics show we absolutely do. You know, if you make over $30,000, you're one of the richest 1% in the world. If you have more than three pairs of shoes, 99% of the world is poorer than you are. Isn't that crazy? If you have more than one outfit in your closet, 99% of the world. 99% of the world. Dreams about having more than one outfit to wear. But how many of us went to the closet this morning or last night and was like, man, I don't know what to wear. It's supposed to be cold. I got to figure out, do I wear long sleeves, short sleeves? What do I do, right? We all got to be there. But then tomorrow morning comes and we struggle and we say, I got to make more money, right? I got to do this. And we build this idol up for money, and we give it a place and a hold in our life that we shouldn't allow it to have because our perspective is wrong. And here's the thing that scares me, and this is where I was, and maybe this is where you are today, but there is hope. I started serving money to advance my career, and I fell in love with it so much that everything I did dominated how much money I could make. What I mean by that is if you want to know if you have the love of money over the love of others is, are you just trying to do the next project to make more money? Or are you trying to do it to bless more people? Are you just trying to make more money? Because that's where I was. I would go from store to store, have team from team, a credible team from team. I would try to move up step by step and think, man, that's going to be a 20% raise. Yeah, I got this. This is where it's going to be. And there's nothing wrong with ambition. God gives you drive. God gives you leadership. God gives you that ability to take next steps. But there's a moment where you have to see, why are you doing it? I let money take root in my life so much that I just kept feeling these chains get tighter and tighter. And it felt like the harder I fought it and the harder I tried to let its grip go, it continued to get tighter and tighter and tighter. So much so I wanted to serve it more. I wanted to love it more. And I wanted to do more. And I wanted to make more of it. And if I could just make more of it, everybody would be happy. Because then if I won the lottery, I could buy a house, a plane, and we could go on vacation where we want to go. And we could have multiple cars. And I could ride in my Gator down to the front of the house to get my newspaper, right? Like in my bedrobe, be on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. You know, all those things. That's how old I am. Yes, that was a show. But anyway, that's how old I am. Like, that's where we were. And so today, I just want you to know, maybe if you have a problem with finances, you're serving money and you love it. And the thing I want to tell you is the hope is we don't have a lifestyle problem. We really don't have a spending problem. We have a spiritual problem. We've got a spiritual problem. Our spiritual problem is we've let money take root in our life. Even if we have a relationship with Jesus, we might have let money take root in our life. So here's what I had to learn, and this is what I learned. So I told you my story, how I was kicked out of house after house. I could tell you where I had school books in a car that was repossessed that I didn't have school books the next day. Like, I can tell you that's just how I grew up and learned about money. Like, it was crazy. And so I get to college. I first learn about a budget, and my brother-in-law, who's not here, he's actually sick right now, the first time he married my sister when I was in high school, Olivia, and I started noticing he had these file folders. Like, what the heck do you have file folders for? And it's like his taxes. He's got Dave Ramsey to the core, right? Like, he's got his envelope system. He's got all these things. And I'm like, this is crazy. But it made an impression on me because I never heard him talk about money. I never heard him stress about money. I didn't understand what that was about, and I was just like, there's something different there, but I'm going to go to college, I'm going to get my student loan, I'm going to do everything I can. I even worked not to go in debt as much debt as I needed to go for school, and I'm going to go do my thing, but I'm going to go make some paper. You know what I mean? Because I deserve it. I deserve it. And so as I got older, Jesus had to open my eyes and my perspective to what I realized is he called me to be in full-time ministry. And I didn't believe you could make money in full-time ministry. And I ran from that like hell so much, for lack of a better term. I ran like hell so much from doing that I thought if I just made enough money, it would make up for the fact that I wasn't being who God made me to be. And so today, if you struggle financially, maybe it's because you've let money take the place of what God has created you and called you to be. Because the thing that Jesus taught me, and it's the third point, is this. Money serves us as we serve God. What he taught me is, as I serve him, money serves me. Money serves us as we serve God. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. So, short story long, I told you about I was trying to climb up the corporate ladder. I was trying to do everything I can, going in stores, trying to work my way through management, trying to work my thing in a career, a place that I worked for 10 years, and I got wrecked. I got wrecked. Jesus reminded me what he called me to do. And so I heard a church was starting in town, and I heard that they were planning a campus in town. And I was like, man, I have to be a part of that. That is something that I'm supposed to be a part of. And then they told me how much they were going to pay me. And I was like, okay. That's like a third of what I make, but okay. Like, I made a bonus bigger than I did the annual salary of what I was supposed to be making. And I'm like, but hey, God's in it. If God's in it, then I've got to do it. And the reason that I can tell you that he opened my eyes before we dive into any scriptures to see that as I serve him, money serves me, or money serves me as I serve God, is continually, time after time, I saw my salary cut. time after time, and God was continually more and more faithful. That's something I could have told you that would have never happened if I was a kid. The perspective I had of money growing up to that moment was, I'm losing money. I'm not making money. So if I'm not making money, then how in the world can I serve others? If I'm not making money, then how in the world are others going to look at me? How in the world are they going to perceive me? How in the world is my family going to be happy and proud because of the zeros in my bank account if I'm not making money? And Jesus taught me, hey, here's what I want you to know. Just serve me faithfully. Be exactly who I created you to be, and the money will serve you. And I can tell you, it served me so much so that I get to do this for free. I get to do what I do for free. I get to be a realtor and meet incredible people on the back end, and incredible people I would never get to meet if I had pastor on everything I did. So I get to be a realtor and a pastor, not because we're a new church, not because this is something that is just a temporary season. It's exactly who God called me to be so that I could do this. And if you would have told me as a child that I would do ministry as a pastor for free, I would have told you you're stupid. There's no way. To make money? Are you kidding me? Okay, so if I'm going to be a pastor to make money, I need to have a church that's X amount of size. It doesn't need to be a plant. There needs to be a pastor who's been there, that's established, that's taken over, that's you know, old and curmudgeon more than likely, and like stepped out, and I need to step into his role, and it's probably 3,000 people or so. It's a mega church. Like, I need to take over that. And then I realized, well, God didn't call me to take over that. He called me to start this. And so I'm supposed to start this. And so I understood and I learned that as I started to serve God more and more, that money served me. Now all of a sudden, yes, is it easy? No. As Paul talked about all the time, it's not easy following Jesus, doing what he's called you to do, but he built tents so that he could boast more in the Lord. That's exactly what I get to do. I don't build tents. I actually get to get you in a house that's not a tent. It's a little more stable, but I can't make any promises. But like, that's exactly what happened with Paul, and that's exactly where I am. So what does Scripture say about this? Where do we learn? Because if we're understanding that maybe we have a love for money, and we're serving money more than people, how in the world can money serve us as we serve God? Here's what 1 Timothy 6 goes on to say. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth. Where is your hope today? Is your hope in God, or is your hope in your bank account? Because you're one medical emergency away, just like all of us, from that bank account probably being swiped out. Am I being honest right now? Like, if I can be real, we all are. I know you can save money and you can do things, but that, you never know. Those things cost a lot, right? Like, we can all be at this place to where we're there. So if your hope is in wealth today, that's what I want you to have freedom and break today, because there's something that your hope can be in that's so much greater. It's so uncertain, this hope in wealth. But put your hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I can tell you, I had some fun times serving money and loving money. Once again, I have some incredible people that I met in that time that are still in my life. But it wasn't who God made me to be. And the thing that I robbed them of in serving that was them seeing me fully be who God made me to be. And they were robbed of a blessing, and I was robbed of a blessing in the meantime. And I'm telling you, if you put your hope in wealth, you're not only robbing yourself, you're robbing those that you love. So command those people who are rich to do good, be rich in good deeds, and generous and willing to share. I love we at the Vine are willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Preach that, Timothy. Come on with that. Life that is truly life. Luke 16 goes on to say it this way. Verse 10 and 11. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So know when you lie, it affects people. I just want you to know. If you got an issue, it'll affect people. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? So I had to learn, how can money serve me as I serve God? So today, if you're taking notes and you want to see how money can serve you as you serve God, we've learned that maybe our perspective of money is wrong in that we serve it. We've learned that maybe we love it more than people, because we're supposed to love God and love others, not love God, then love money, then love others, or not love money, then God, then others. We're supposed to have money at the bottom of the list, and maybe we're serving it. So let me tell you how you can get out. So if you're taking notes, I've got three words for you. Act your wage. Act your wage. Act your W-A-G-E. Act your wage. And we're going to have some tools to help you there. Act your wage. Act your wage. And what I mean by that is, it goes all the way through the Bible how God blesses those who follow him obediently, but also he blesses the plans of those who follow him obediently. So the first way that you can act your wage is you see how you can serve God and let money serve you instead of being in chains by loving it and serving money is this. The first way you act your wage is have self-control. Have self-control. How many of us have self-control? I do on everything but macaroni and banana pudding, and then it's out the gate, son. I don't have self-control on that. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm working on it, Jesus, and if I got to budget that, we will, and usually it's this time of year we budget for. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's this time of year. Have self-control. So if you're trying to figure out, so how do I have self-control? Well, let me say it to you this way. Say no for a while to something so that you can say yes to it the rest of your life. Say no to something for a while so you can say yes to it the rest of your life. Yeah, I might have ripped that off from Dave Ramsey. You're welcome. Say no to something for a little while so you can say yes to it the rest of your life. So let me give you a stat how you can have self-control. Did you know this? You can save $112,000 by bringing your lunch to work every day over your entire lifetime. Does anybody else want $112,000 more in their life? As a matter of fact, when you're practicing self-control, I mean, who's going to turn that down, right? Like, today if I had $112,000 sitting here and I said, all you got to do is bring a brown paper sack to lunch, or for lunch every day to work. Now, I don't mean steal your coworkers. That's wrong. I mean, we know in the fridge it had their name on it. Don't do that. What I'm telling you is have self-control. And let me tell you how Jesus taught me this of having self-control, how I could serve him and not serve money and see how money could serve me is God's called me to do things in my life. I actually used to be made fun of because if you know anything about me, I brought tuna. I need to get back in the tuna game because it helped me health-wise. I'm working on that. But I would bring tuna to work. And they would call that the poor man's lunch. But little did most people know that I was actually giving an offering to something that was made and something I could be a part of that it was even greater than that lunch could ever provide. And the only way that I could pay to be and give that offering is if I brought my lunch to work every day. And I got made fun of for it, and that's okay. It is what it is. Jesus will figure that out. He's blessed with banana pudding and macaroni and cheese. Y'all bless me here. I know it is what it is. But like, he's blessed me with that. But I'm telling you, if you just practiced a little bit of self-control, maybe you could save a lot of money. Now, I don't know what the average lunch goes for, but maybe there's something in your life you could give up once a day. I don't know what that is. You figure that out. Maybe it's TV. Ooh. Maybe it's Coca-Cola. I don't know. Maybe it's whatever it is. I'm telling you, if you bring your lunch to work every day for your work career, 40 years, you'll save $112,000. That's a lot. I wish somebody would have told me when I was a teen that mattered. I'd have saved a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? Who cares what I got made fun of? So the number one way to act your wage is have self-control. The second thing, sacrifice. Sacrifice. That's the crazy one, right? Sacrifice. So the first way you act your wage is you have self-control. You can save $112,000, just saying. The second way is sacrifice. And that means give up something you love for something you love even more. Kind of goes hand in hand with self-control. But you give up something you love for something you love even more. Here's what I mean by that. So, say you have credit card debt. Average American that has a credit card is in debt about $16,000. That's their average balance. Everybody's getting excited about that. I see some good looks. That's it. It's either you're looking, everybody's pulling up their statements right now. That's crazy. Like, the average credit card balance is $16,000. So, let's just say you had a $14,000 balance. Your minimum payment on that is $218. Right now is probably about 18% interest more than likely because there's interest on top of the prime because the rate's going up. Did you know that it will take you 40 years to pay that debt off? $105,000 to borrow 14. Now, I'm a realtor. I'll talk to you about home loans, so hang in here with me. So, like, I'm preaching to the choir here, so understand what I'm saying. With your credit card debt, just to borrow that $14,000, you're paying $105,000. Does that seem worth it? But yet those things are so awesome, right? Like that we had to have. Like, right? Those TVs in the rooms that we never walk in. They were on sale Black Friday. It was ready to go, right? like we were so jacked. For me, it was gaming systems. My goodness, it was Xbox, PS3. Like, I had every game. When Madden came out, it was NCAA football and Madden. I had to buy it. $60 a pop. I have no clue why. Like, as a kid, I didn't understand why that was so important in my life, but I had to have it. And I look back and I'm like, how crazy were you, dude? How much money did you throw away? And then I start looking at this when I talk about sacrificing. Well, $217, what's the average cable bill? What's our average cable bill? I don't really know. I just stepped back into that game. With your internet and television, are you anywhere around $200? Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. I don't know. I know internet's probably about $60 a month. So what if you had to give something like that up so that you could save more? Let me tell you why it matters. If you invested that same $218 a month and had an initial investment of $14,517, so instead of going in debt, you took $14,500, put it in the bank, and every month you added $218 to it, over 40 years with the average rate of return with the stock market being 8%, you'd be a millionaire. You'd have $1.2 million. So instead, let me tell you how compound interest works, how you have to sacrifice. You can either pay the bank your return and pay them $105,000 to give you that $14,000 of pleasure for a second, or you can invest that $14,500 and that minimum payment you would have had there and be a millionaire and bless so many more people in the future. So the question is, where are you at with that? Are you acting your wage? Because I had to learn that. I didn't understand that. When I was trying to act my wage, I just said, you make the minimum payment, you'll be all right. You'll make the minimum payment, you won't get in debt. You make the minimum payment, it's fine. They tell you, you'll pay it off in 20 years. It's all right. You're getting a promotion. It's going to work out. I'm telling you, that mentality will make you sink deeper. Has anybody had success with that yet? I know I didn't. I had to understand and my perspective be changed to act my wage. So the first way is self-control. The second way is sacrifice. The third is plan. Plan. Once again, I talked to you about going to the grocery store. How many times do you go to the grocery store hungry? You walk out with a shopping cart. Am I right or am I wrong? Like, seriously, if you don't have a list, maybe I'm just so undisciplined. If I don't have a list, I can't walk in the grocery store. Like, it's over. Like, oh, look at this end cap. And I understand retail and I'm like, that's probably, all right, let's get it. It's on sale. We might as well get it. Right now, Christmas tree cakes. If you know, you know, right? Like, you see that on the end caps. And you're just like, it's 2 for $4, buy two, get one free. I might as well get the free one, right? Like, if you don't have a list and you don't have the plan, it can get you stuck. And the reason you have to have a plan is this, because here's the thing I learned about money. Is see, you can wander into debt, but how many of us have ever wandered out without a plan? I can tell you, I didn't. I couldn't wander out. I didn't win the lottery. Hey, if you did, praise God from amen, from whom all blessings flow. That's awesome. I'm excited for you that you won the lottery and get out. But most people don't do that. That's why most people who win the lottery, they don't have a plan for their money. They're broke in 5 years because they didn't know how to spend their money in the first place, right? So if you've wandered into debt by accident, you've wandered in it because you were serving money and you loved money and you forgot about serving God first to see how money could serve you, I want you to know you got to have a plan. Because as it says, God can't trust you with more income if all you do is spend it. He says, who is faithful in little, they will be faithful in much. But who is unfaithful in little, even that's going to be gone. Like, I can't trust them. So if you keep saying, if I get more money and you pray, how many prayed this prayer? Jesus, if you could just let me get that bonus this year, that raise, I'll do so much. But I'll tithe. I might even give an offering. Like, I'll do so much more with that, right? I prayed that prayer. I can tell you, we've all prayed that prayer. And I will tell you that it doesn't do anything but show you more of who you are. So we want to talk about having a plan. And we're going to talk to you about some steps that you can take to have a plan, some free things that we can do. But here's the thing I want to tell you, the reason I'm sharing this with you, that I might get real excited about this. So if the chains start rattling, get excited with me, okay? So the reason that I am who I am today and where we are who we are today is the Vine Church is a debt-free church. I've talked to you about this. We will always be debt-free. As long as there's a breath in me, I will tell you this. I don't believe God ever called you to go into debt for something that he created you to do. And that's up to you where you are on that. I'm not against people going into debt. I'm not against churches going into debt. I just know the Vine Church has not been called to go into debt. We are a true church plant. We didn't go to a church planters network. There's nothing wrong with that. We didn't go to somebody to say, give us money to do this thing. We prayed about it and said, God, what would you have us do? And this is what we do. And as long as there's a breath in me, I want to tell you, I don't want to see the Vine Church in chains. And the Vine Church isn't this building. The Vine Church isn't all this equipment. The Vine Church is the people at the Vine Church. I don't want us to say that we're in bondage to debt and we're in chains to debt and we're weighed down, because this is what the world sees. This is what the world expects. This is what the world wants us to be, because the world is spending a dollar and a penny to every dollar they make here in America. And when they see that we're in chains, they can't see the hope that we have in Jesus. They can't see the hope that is the gospel. Because to be quite honest with you, all those times of following Jesus that I served money and loved money, there's no way that people saw Jesus in me the best that they possibly could. I could talk about him. I could try to say, point people to him, but they didn't see me living it out. And the thing that I want for each and every person at the Vine is to live it out, and that includes with our finances. So I want our story to be, we're a church that's not in bondage to debt. We're a people that's not in bondage to debt. We're a people, when God says go, we say go. We're a people, when God says give, we give. We're not afraid of it. We're excited about it. Not because of the money in the bank. When we give at the Vine, it's not about building the bank account. It's not about doing all those things. We actually, as you saw us celebrate earlier, we try to figure out how to give the money away. What sense does that make? That's what we're called to do as Christians, guys, because we're supposed to see money serving us as we serve God. And so today, maybe you're struggling with that plan. Maybe when I say there's a plan, that scares you, because growing up, that scared the turd out of me, right? It's kind of like the phone call from the unknown number. You didn't know what it was. Like growing up for me, I knew that was a bill collector, so I didn't pick up because I was afraid. And like some of us even are in that day now, like maybe that's our perspective now. I can't do that now. I'm a realtor, so I have to pick up. It's business. You got to do what you got to do, right? So that's how Jesus has changed me in my life. But today, maybe you're struggling with figuring out how to plan. So when you're acting your wage, you got to have some self-control. You got to sacrifice, but you got to have a plan. And we want to help you have a plan today. So one of the ways that you can do that is if you go to thevine.tv/money, we have some things and some tools for you to see how money can serve you as you serve God, for you to plan. Thevine.tv/money. If you want to write that down, that sounds crazy for a church to have that, right? That's how we roll here at The Vine. If you hadn't figured that out, that's how we roll. Thevine.tv/money has three tools for you to help you plan. If you go there, thevine.tv/money, if you'll go there, we have some tools to help you plan. And what I mean by that is the first tool we have is you're going to create a budget. If you click the link, you've got a downloadable tool. You just plug and play the number. It will help you create a budget. It's an Excel file. You can upload it to your Google Drive. All you got to do is download it. It'll help you figure out your budget, and it'll even give you some percentages that you should probably be in. Doesn't mean that you have to live by it. It's a free tool to help you get a budget, okay? So that's how you plan first, is have a budget. Now, I'm not talking to you about cash envelopes and all that stuff yet. We ain't walking that way, but I'm telling you. The first way to have a plan is the budget, because if you don't know what's going out and you barely know what's coming in, you don't have a plan. A budget will help you see that, okay? So that's step one. Now, step two can get real confusing. So if I start jumping up and down about this, just hang in here. Step two is the debt snowball, okay? So we're only going to give you three tools today, but step two is the debt snowball, and that can take some time to figure out, but here's all that I want you to do with that. I want you to figure out how much you owe on all your debt. Maybe you just have a house payment. That's awesome. That's really cool. That's really awesome. There's nothing wrong with that. That's cool. Hey, as a realtor, I'll tell you, it's probably the biggest investment you have. I don't have $200,000 check to write just yet. One day, I don't have that yet. But I'm telling you, if you have a house payment, maybe you set that down. And then you got a credit card payment, put that on that debt snowball. And then maybe you have a student loan payment. A lot of us do. A lot of us were in that boat. You got to pay that. And maybe you've got another credit card that you need to pay. Maybe it's a store credit card. Maybe there's a gas credit card on top of that. Maybe there's a car loan that you have on top of that, okay? Start writing all those down in the debt snowball. So create a budget, have the debt snowball. Now, the thing about the debt snowball is it's supposed to be you pay off the least one first, and then you start rolling down. But if you can't figure that out, I'm going to tell you what, skip step two if you have to, if that's too confusing. But I would challenge you to write all your debts down, because when you see it, man, you want to get rid of it. Just remember, to borrow $14,000, it cost you $100. I don't think that's worth it. I don't know about you, but I don't think that's worth it. So write all your debts down. And the number three thing you have is a cash flow document. Cash flows. How many people grow up knowing what cash flows were? I learned about it in business school. I didn't know what cash flows were. Are you kidding me? It's like the most important statement of any business. It says you want to have more coming in than what goes out, all right? And if nothing else, you want to be at least zero. It's when you're negative that there's a problem. So America is negative. We spend a penny over what we bring in every time, okay? So you don't want to be that. You want to at least break even. So what you're going to do is you're going to take the numbers from your budget, plug that into that monthly cash flow, and you're just going to track everything. I mean, it's got everything laid out, category after category, like how much did I spend on clothes? How much did I spend on groceries? How much did I spend on restaurants, furniture, gifts, everything? It's got it all there for you. All you got to do is download that document, and every month just start tracking it. Now, I'm telling you this, and I see some wide eyes, and I understand that because I didn't understand any of it either. So we want to help you, and we believe so much in not being in the chains of bondage of debt for each and every person that in 2019, tentatively in February, we're going to go through Financial Peace University as a church together. So if you would like information with that and for that, you can give us your information. We'll keep you up to date. You can sign up right underneath there at thevine.tv/money. And we're going to be doing that through the week because we believe in not being in bondage to debt and to the chains of money so much that we believe that it can affect you and those around you. I'm living proof it can. I'm positive living proof it can. Okay, I can tell you, I didn't grow up with it. I had the wrong view of it. But I can tell you today, if you don't have the right view of money and you have children, if you don't have the right view of money and you have family in your life, they see your view of money and they do it too. And the way that we break the chains of that and become outlasters is we have the right view of it. So thevine.tv/money, got some tools there so that you can plan. And as we wrap up here at the end, here's what we do every week, and I'm just going to be honest with you. You see, the thing that I learned about this that was so scary with these chains is I kept locking myself into things, you know. Lock into this rate, right? How many of us hear that, right? Because that's worth it, right? Lock into this rate. I kept realizing I was fighting these chains, and no matter what I did, I had this chain on me, and it just wouldn't, I couldn't get it off, like, and I would wrap it around and I'd, you know, do some crazy stuff. And I would realize the more I fought it, I couldn't get this lock free. And here's the thing, after all that I've given you today and all that I'm telling you, your relationship with money actually doesn't start with a budget. It starts with trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because the only way that I had a positive view of money is I understood the thing that satisfied and filled me more than anything else in this world. And that was Jesus. If I didn't have a relationship with Jesus, there's no way that I would be out of debt. There's no way. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I would have continued to chase money. Now, some folks chase money. Some folks chase food. Some folks chase addictions. Some folks chase working out. I don't know. They chase it unhealthily. They chase things in their life. And for me, that was what money was. Is I would have continued to chase that all the way through, that I would have missed out on the life-giving source that is Jesus. And so today, maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, this guy's beat me up for an hour. I'm not beating you up for an hour. I want to show you something. Is if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, the key to getting out of debt, the key isn't that you have to have this budget. I can tell you all about this budget, and you can do some good things. As a matter of fact, I told you, I went up the career ladder. I met some great people. We did some good things, but I wasn't all who Jesus made me to be. And the only way I could learn to do that is to know who he was to begin with. But what I ended up forgetting, and maybe where you are today, is see, here's the thing about this lock and this debt. I can plan to get out of debt. I can be like the junkyard dog and do everything I can and fight with this. I can beat people with this chain. I can beat things down around me. But the one thing about this chain is I can't get it off because it's locked. And it's because I don't have the key to be unlocked from it. You see, here's the thing. It took someone else coming along before me to have the key to set me free from the chains of my financial bondage. Some of us right now are watching and you see it's not the financial bondage that you have. The thing that you're missing, the key that you're missing in your life, is you're missing that it took a key. It took someone else giving you the key to be set free from something. And it's not finances. It's actually in your life, sin. You see, as Alex comes up and he's going to unlock this, you see, in my life, I was weighed down even more in my sin than I ever was in my finances. And the thing was, it took someone before me, coming before me, to set me free from those chains. And that was Jesus. Just like that money weighed me down, my sin had put me in chains, it had put me in bondage, it had put me in death. But it took someone before me to give me the key that I didn't hold. And I want to tell you today, if you really want to be financially free, the key to it is Jesus Christ in your life. Because he will set you free. He will rip you free from the chains. He will rip you free from everything. And what I forgot following Jesus was that that is what he died to give me. Freedom. Freedom from the chains of my sin. Freedom from death in the grave. Freedom to be fully who he made me to be. And even though I kept trying to wrap myself in the chains of money, he wouldn't allow it. He loved me enough that he wouldn't allow me to do it. Because he died to give me so much more. So today, if you're watching online, maybe you've never made that decision to follow Jesus. Maybe it's not your finances that need to get in shape, it's your soul. And the reason I say that is for you to truly experience freedom, you've got to have a relationship with Christ, because you don't hold the key to set yourself free. You can work your way, you can try to fight your way. No matter what you do, the harder you fight the chains of sin, the deeper the grip will be without Christ. But he alone is the key. You see, all of us are destined and are born with these chains on us. All of us are born into sin and death. And so much so, we're separated from the very creator of the universe, each and every one of us. But God loves us enough, and he loved us enough, that he sent the key to set us free in his son. That key was Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect life that we couldn't live. Died the death on the cross for our sin that we deserve. Took these chains, took this sinful flesh on, and still went to the cross, living a perfect life, and he died there for our sins. But he loved us enough that he didn't stay dead. No. He rose again on the third day so that we can have life and we can experience heaven on earth right here and right now, so that we aren't caught in the bondage of anything else that this earth could ever throw upon us, because he set us free from it. And so today, if you've never given your life to Jesus, the reason we do what we do isn't so that we could boast about being debt-free or we could boast about how much we're given. The reason that we were created and the reason that we're here today is so that you can be set free from the chains of sin. The thing is, just like Alex came up these stairs, he had the key to unlock the lock that was on me. There's nothing I could have done to get there. No matter how shoddily these chains were, just understand, no matter what I did, I could not get out of that lock if I didn't have the key. That lock would always be on those chains, and those chains would always be on me. All I had to do is receive his help. All I had to do is receive his gift that is the key to unlock me from the chains that I was in. And that's all you have to do today. We're about to say a prayer. It's not the prayer that we say, it's faith that Jesus is the key, that Jesus is the one who has set you free. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, we do this as a family together. I just want to read you this verse as you bow your head before we pray. Psalm 146, 7 says it this way. He holds up the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. Nothing else and no one else, but the Lord sets the prisoner free. So today, will you accept the key that is Jesus Christ? Will you accept that he is the one that can set you free? That he is the one to take the weight of sin off of you? And if so, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat this after me for the benefit of those who are coming to Jesus for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you can say by faith for the first time that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to respond. One, two, three. If that's you and that's the first time you've ever accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to respond here in this house. I'm going to ask you to respond online there. If you're watching on Facebook, just comment. You can reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv. You can call us at 864-580-6698. We have people who want to celebrate you being set free. Because as loud as those chains dropping were, the celebration of you coming home and you having a relationship with Christ is going to be so much louder. We're about to sing a song of praise here in just a minute. We just started off right before the message talking about we are who God says we are and who God alone says we are. And so today, I'm just going to ask you to step fully into who that is and step fully into who you are only through Christ Jesus. Will you be set free? So for everyone else, you can go ahead and open your eyes and look up. For everyone else, I'm going to ask us to stand up, and I'm just going to ask you to worship, and then I got one more thing for you at the end. So if we will stand up, get ready to worship. Divine Worship is going to lead us in song.
Of you. standing on the promise of new life. Cause I am yours forever. Jesus, you are mine. Lord Jesus, you are mine.
So as we're right here at the end, each and every one of you under your seat have something. I've got the privilege to meet a lot of you. I know where you are with Jesus. And so today I want you to leave with a key. We're giving away a house. I'm just kidding. We're not. That would have been awesome, wouldn't it? Everybody would have lost their mind. Let me tell you what this key is for. See, here's the beauty of following Jesus. When you've received the key to set you free from the bondage and chains of this world and the bondage and chains of sin, the bondage and chains of debt, the bondage and chains of everything, he freely gives you the key. Because he is the key. And the question is, what do you do with the key? Do you keep it for yourself or do you share it with others? And if you're stuck financially, I promise you, Jesus wants to do so much more through you than that debtor could ever take from you. And so today, if you're trying to get financially free, I just want you to hold this key in a prominent place. Maybe you're struggling with addiction. I want you to remember Jesus has given you the key to set you free from it. Maybe in your life it's not finances, it's relationships that's got you all tore up and crazy. Remember, Jesus is the key, but he's given you the key to do something with. Save this key. Put it in a place. Hey, maybe put it in where you drive to work. Put it somewhere where you know. Just remind yourself that you have the key. And today, if you want to be financially free, the key for you is to go to thevine.tv/money if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can be set free. You've got the key. The question is what you do with it. What I love about the Vine Church and what I love about the people at the Vine Church is we know that he is the key to everything we do. And we're not afraid to share that key with the rest of the world. We want to turn the world upside down with the gospel because he is the key. We know that everyone is trying to plug the wrong key into that lock. They're trying to pick the lock. They're trying to do everything they can to break free. And they're missing the one true key, and that is Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you over these next few weeks to know that if you've got Jesus, you've got the key. Hang on to that and remind yourself of that. I can't wait to continue Outlasters next week. As we get ready, we pray together. I saw people putting deodorant today on, so you can go ahead and put your arm around somebody. Get real comfortable if you don't know them already. Go ahead and put an arm around somebody. We pray here together at the end. If you're not putting your arm around your spouse, we'll talk about that later. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I just want to pray today that we get set free. I can tell you, growing up in the chains and ravages of debt and seeing the wrong perspective, how much it can hurt you and those you love the most. And I want to be known as a person, and I pray that we be known at the Vine as someone who use money to serve people and to bless people, not serve money and use people. So as we have every head bowed, I'm just going to pray that we have an amazing week. We come back here next week as we continue Outlasters to talk about faith on fire. Maybe there will be fire. Only one will know. So Jesus, as we come to you today, thank you for allowing us to do this. Today it's all about your name, Jesus. You know, we can stand up here, have all these great stories, talk about how you've moved in our life. But the thing is, without you coming down here and dying for our sins and setting us free from it and having a relationship with us, we can't do anything. We talk about it at the Vine all the time. John 15:5 says that if we remain in you, that we will bear fruit. But apart from you, we can do nothing. And so Jesus, right now, let us see that you're the key to everything in our life. Sometimes we lose that perspective. We get caught in the chaos and the noise of the world. And it's not just the chains of debt that lock us up. We get locked up in addictions. We get locked up in wrong relationships. We get locked up in things that we shouldn't get locked up. And we forget that you died to set us free from it. So today, if we need to take that step financially, I pray that you would give us boldness to go to thevine.tv/money and get on there and take those budgeting steps and see what you can do through it and how you can bless it. Jesus, today, maybe we just needed to be reminded what you did in our life and how you set us free from the chains of sin and death. Let us never forget that you did that. And so let us look to you as we go throughout this week, Jesus. Let us not save this key that is you. Let us give you away to as many people as we see. We love you, Lord. We can't wait to get back here next week. It's your wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Faith on fire next week. Can't wait to see you then.